Today's sermon is about, it's coming from a weird perspective of how do you handle having too much in your life, too much going on. And myself, and I'm going to invite Justin, Coach Justin, to come up and help, if I can find the yellow mic here. And Justin and I both struggle with this. So we're coming from a spot of we want to all work on it together, not we've got the answers. It'd be hypocritical of us to say we've got this figured out. We're both struggling. To get us started, though, I do want to show this. And I bet nobody, unless you just bought your car like last week, I bet nobody's trunk looks like that, right? Like nobody's trunk is that clean, right? So if pull this table out of the way. I forgot to clean up this giant mess after first service. That is all the junk that was in my trunk. That's not even like the random, just grocery bag stuff that gets in your trunk. That's all like stuff just in case. I don't, you know, like what if this happens and I have stuff in my trunk? And a lot of it lives like underneath that, you know, you pull up and you've got that, all this changing your tire type of gear. A lot of it lives underneath there, so then I forget even what I have. Justin, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What did you think was most ridiculous about what I had here?
A piece of rope, I think, maybe. Or
so I had, yeah, a little random thing of rope.
Two pairs of gloves, I guess.
Two pairs of gloves is pretty ridiculous.
Toilet paper and Kleenex.
Toilet paper and Kleenex. There you go. There's a lot of stuff. It's like, I don't even know what all is in there. There's a little shovel. There's this, not one, but two, because I forgot I'd had one in there, of like this little kit to like keep your car warm if you get stranded somewhere. There's a Frisbee I used to use a lot more often. You know, it made sense to have it in my trunk 10 years ago, probably. There's Cheerios, not even real Cheerios. So there's a lot of junk, right? But then I also brought everything I carry with me on my bicycle in case of emergency, and it's like six things, you know? It's like an inner tube and a pump, like it all tight, you know, fits in just a tight little package, smaller than a couple fists, you know? And there's a reason that one is just growing and I don't even know what all is there, and one is really small. And I could have told you everything that was in the bike one before I opened it up. Whereas when I was doing this yesterday, Chrissy and I drove up here to bring all this up here because I didn't want to ride my bike here with all that stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to get rid of half of this stuff. But we were like that in our lives. We treat our lives like a trunk and not like a bicycle, right? We carry all this stuff, and what's driving all this junk is like the what if sort of preparedness or whatever. But in your life, there's something driving you to just probably keep adding and adding and adding. And so people get busy and they get stressed, and suddenly you're not treating the people around you with the patience or the love or the listening ear that you want to have, because you're maxed out and you're tired and you're exhausted and you're cranky and you're angry and you're distracted. And so if you're in that spot today and you're like, I'm not able to love the people around me the way I want, I'm not able to love my life the way I want, I'm not able to have the relationship with God that I want, like that's what the sermon is about today. So we're going to look at a person in Hebrews chapter 11, the father of faith, Abraham, and it's going to talk to us about what did he do. And so let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So here it's telling us that Abraham was called by God. And God told him, get up and go to a totally different place than you've ever been before. You got to leave your family and your house and all your stuff and whatever job you were doing. And I'm not even going to tell you all the details about what your new life is going to be like. And a lot of folks in the room, you had to leave all your old connections and all your old hangouts just on faith that God was going to give you something better. That's where Abraham was at, okay? Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 tells us how he did it. It says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Wherever Abraham lived, because this was thousands of years ago, wherever his home was, it's all dust and rubble covered up in dirt. But Abraham was looking forward to an eternal place. God has something better for Abraham. And so that's where how he lived his life. That's how he chose the people he was around. That's how he chose what to do with his time. So he was looking to what God had for him. And we're not talking about just looking for, oh man, heaven's going to be so great. But Abraham had this active relationship with God while he's here on earth. And it changed the way he treated his nephew. It changed the way he treated other people around him. It changed his whole life. So that idea of what do you look to? When my trunk gets so full of stuff, it's because I was looking at the, oh, what if this happened? Or what if this happened? Or what if this happened? And then the trunk is full. What's the idea that's driving your decisions for how you spend your time, how you spend your money, who you're around? When I was learning to drive a car, I can remember one of the things that was tricky for me right at first was not turning the whole car when I would check like my blind spots. You know, I'd want to veer into the next lane. And a lot of us have that experience. Wherever you're looking, it's hard not to go that spot. If you're looking for, here's what God has for me, and you're keeping focused on that, then it's going to change the decisions you make. So we look back in verse 8 here real quick. Abraham was called by God, which means he was listening to God, and then he obeyed and did what God said. So Justin, I wanted to pull you up here today. One reason is, tell us about something God's called you to do that you had to make some choices about.
Okay, so it's a little bit of a story, so you have to stick with me here. But 2 summers ago, my wife came to me and said she wants to grow some flowers, and maybe we could sell them at farmers markets and just to people to bring joy to their lives because everybody loves flowers. And you know, her grandmother had grown flowers and it was just in her blood, and she felt like that was something she wanted to do. So we started talking about it, and eventually we're out in the backyard. I'd borrowed a tiller. We went out there and tilled up the yard, and we eventually started last spring, early spring, late winter of last year. We started on the left. There is an actual picture from our basement. We set up a big giant table down there and started growing about around 500 seeds of different flowers, and we started a few tomatoes and some basil, and just trying to get that adventure started. We really poured a lot of time and effort and some money into it, and you know, it was a passion that I saw my wife wanted to do, and we really enjoyed doing it together, just being out in the yard. And so in the top picture there, that's right around the middle of last summer. That's on the left side there is a bunch of basil we had growing, and most of those flowers were this tall. And we really had a lot of things growing there that we could use to build awesome bouquets, which is down here. It's 2 5-gallon buckets full of bouquets that me and my wife put together to sell. And it was just a really great adventure. We loved doing it together, and it was just something that brought joy to us. And we were called, like Jake was talking about with Abraham, we were called to be in the youth ministry. And for a while I had been apprenticing under Patrick, the old youth pastor, and in June of this year we took over the youth ministry. That means all of that summer tilling and growing in the basement and planting and watering systems we had set up, we had to put that on the back burner. And it eventually got to the point where we would get home from work and we would walk right past the garden and go in the house, because we knew if we were going to do what God called us to do well, we weren't able to tend to that garden. And so it really got overgrown with weeds, started getting some disease because we weren't able to go out there and take care of it. And but we realized if we were going to do what God called us to do well, we weren't going to be able to do both of those things. And so we haven't given up on that. We're going to try again this year and maybe plant a few less things. But I think just having to give up on something that is really good to do what God's called you to do.
Well, so I got to walk real closely with Justin while all this was going on. And just like your hearts probably did as he tells that story about the flowers, I was sitting, we were talking about what is he going to do? You know, he's got so much on his plate with the youth and stuff. I remember we tried to brainstorm, like, how do we keep the flowers involved? You're like, could you have the youth come over to the house and help with the flowers? Or like, because it was something they cared about. And the point of the sermon today isn't just, oh, yeah, get rid of all your dreams and do some job inside of a church. That's not the point. But the point is, and the reason I wanted Justin to come up and share, is a real cut had to be made. Think the lie that you're going to try to tell yourself today during the sermon is, oh, if I just do things a little bit better, if I just try a little harder, I can still do everything I'm currently doing, and I can do it great. And if you're not already doing everything great, you probably can't just try a little harder and make it work. And there may be something in your life that you do really care about, and you say, I care about that, but I care about this thing that God's calling me to do more. And it might be a flower ministry or something. I mean, there's nothing against flowers specifically, or it might be a flower business or anything like that. But the idea is, have you listened to God about what's important? And then have you shown it's important by saying no to some other things? Like that, it's painful. The reason stuff's in your life is because you wanted it there. It's painful to cut it out. We're going to read a couple more verses, and this is really the heart of the sermon today. This is some truth that you can build on. It's just a few verses after what we just read. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about Abraham and these other people that come up in Hebrews 11, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders. That's the key for the sermon today. Let us throw off everything that hinders, anything that's holding you back from being who Jesus wants you to be, from having the relationship with him that he wants you to have, and the sin that so easily entangles. And that's an important key verse. Obviously, if you got something in your life that's directly against what God wants you to do, that's step one, is working on that. All of us have got sin that we have to over and over work on with God. But a lot of times we ignore the truth in the middle of that verse. We have a lot of other stuff, like my trunk. If I were riding around on a bicycle, I could probably physically ride on a bicycle with all that junk. I'd be exhausted and smelly and a mess when I got where I was going, you know? I wouldn't be very happy. That's a lot of how we're living our lives. Like, okay, maybe technically you can do what you're doing, but are you the type of person that God's calling you to be? Is your relationship with God what it should be? Next verse tells us how to do it right. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here's the key, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How do you figure out, should I stop doing the flowers and start doing youth? Should I be dating this person or should I be single? Do I need to stop hanging out with those people and spend more time with these people? How do you figure that out? You have to watch Jesus closely. You talk to him, you listen to him, you read the Gospels and see what is important to Jesus and is that important to me? So we've got a little bit of time left this morning. Justin and I have some practical stuff that we're struggling with currently. Okay, we want to throw out some just practical ideas. But the big thing today is, do you want to let go of some things? If you want to let go of some things, Jesus will show you, okay? So open up to him right now. Even in your mind right now, say, Jesus, show me what to let go of. Here's just an idea, okay? What if you turned off your phone? I know already people are like, okay, turned off your phone at night and you left it in another room than where you were sleeping. Like, oh, turn it off and put it in another room. Like, maybe that hasn't happened in years for you, you know? Like, and it's plugged in some other room and you have this thing called an alarm clock that wakes you up instead of your phone. Last night, I'm trying this the last few days. My poor wife. Last night, I got out this old alarm clock, and I hadn't used it in forever, so I wanted to make sure it still worked. So as she's like leaving the bathroom, like just finishing brushing her teeth, like it goes off, like rah, rah, rah. She said it terrified her. I feel like that was a little extreme wording. I was like, terrified you? She's like, yes, terrified me. She should have told me you're gonna do that. So we have an alarm clock in our room again. Okay, you can turn it back on eventually, but before you turn it back on, what if you spent time with Jesus before you turned the phone on? So sometimes you get creative and you turn something that normally Satan can use as an opportunity to keep you. Because what happens to me, the alarm goes off right next to my head when it's the phone, then I have to turn on the little flashlight thing, and while I'm doing that, then I see that somebody texted me, and then I'm drug into cell phone world, you know? But here's the awesome turnaround. If you make yourself spend time with Jesus before you turn the phone on, now that pressure of like, oh, I wonder if someone's texting me or something's happened, you're like, well, I better read my Bible and then I'll go find out. So it actually turns that thing on its head. If you're a person that like really did gasp inside when I said turn off your phone, like I bet you'd read your Bible every day this week if you did this step. So one step, you can take it or leave it. What's our next one, Justin?
So, for somebody like me, it's hard to say no, especially like when I was first getting sober, like Gabby talked about last week, we try to keep ourselves busy with lots and lots of things in our life. And so I did that for a long time. And now that I am involved in youth ministry and I have my own home and I'm married, I'm not as free to say, yes, I can do that for people as much as I was back then. So it's saying no to simple things that help you to be more focused on more important things. Like for one example for me is people find out I'm an electrician and they say, well, hey, can you come over and do this and this and this at my house? And I just simply tell them, not that I don't have time to do it, but I'm not accepting any side jobs right now. And that's just an easier way to say, no, I can't do that. So if I tell you I'm not accepting side jobs, I'm just really not doing any side jobs. That's one of the things that I can say no to that helps me be a better husband or youth pastor or wherever I'm at.
Yeah, so Justin's prioritized ahead of time and said, what am I? He set some boundaries up that allows him to prioritize what's important. Next thing, here we got, this is a hummingbird and two baby hummingbirds that are about ready to fly. When I saw this picture, here's the weird thoughts that I had. I thought, it must be weird, so that hummingbird's been feeding those two babies for a while. And then when they leave the nest, like, there's no more, there's an empty nest there, obviously. There's no more like, hey, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. Like, the little birds probably chatter all the time. And I realized, a lot of us are the type of people that we would just keep those two birds in there forever. We would just say, like, I need to keep hearing, I need you constantly. So I'm just going to keep feeding you worms and don't ever fly away. Like, a lot of us live that way. I struggle with that. I think a lot of us struggle with that. Like, if we admit it to ourselves, we have a need to be needed. And that's why we won't let some things go. I was talking to a lady on Wednesday night, and she said, at work, I handed off something I used to do to two of my employees I've been training because I had to prioritize something else and be somewhere else that was more important. But we were talking about those two employees can finally be the leaders that she's trained them to be because she's done the training, but now she has to get out of the room. Like they can never fully be leaders with her there with them, kind of in charge still. And so maybe you're here today and that's what you needed to hear, is that you've been making choices out of I need to be needed rather than what's best for the people around you. And maybe you can let go of some of those people in a healthy way.
So when we think about being busy and saying no to things, I learned through flight training and through life that it's important to schedule downtime. The part in flight training that I learned about was Jake told us, you guys all need to take 4 hours and spend in solitude, not doing anything. Just spend 4 hours alone with God. And we all went, 4 hours. Like, how are we going to find 4 hours out of our busy lives to go and not do anything? But we all did it, and it was really great experience. So it's so important to just take your daily or weekly schedule, whatever that looks like for you, and schedule downtime. I remember talking with Jake and Chrissy, and they talked about quit life days, and so that's days where you just quit doing your phone and quit doing things that just take some time and take a break. So it's just real important to schedule downtime where you're not really rushed to do anything. You can relax and spend some time with the Lord.
Okay, we got one more for you. I think this is the hardest one. We're gonna wrap things up. You really may have to quit something. Like Justin and Amy, really, for at least the current time period, they quit doing flowers. You really may have to quit something on your plate to be the wife that God wants you to be, or to be the father that God wants you to be, or to be the mentor to somebody in your life that God wants you to be. And so don't leave the room without facing, like, Jesus, what do you want me to let go of? Is there something holding me back from who you want me to be? Derek and Sienna are going to come up. Today, we've run a little long today, and we're going to do one song today. And I'm going to ask all of our small group leaders, we don't normally have all of you up here, but I'd ask all of our small group leaders to come up front and pray. If you want to pray, if you want to make a decision today, like, let's not wait. Let's make a decision and say, Jesus, this is what I want to let go of, okay? Let me lead us in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for today. Jesus, I thank you that you are the pioneer, that you went ahead of us. And like Adam said, we just have to follow your lead. We don't have to get out in front. Help us to look to you and to follow where you lead us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.